Speaking on this program is Brother Winford Claiborne.
Thank you and good morning. When I first began to study marriage and family textbooks, almost always the areas of marriage needing the greatest adjustment were as follows: money matters, sexual functioning, relationships with in-laws, rearing children, and so on. These are still discussed in depth by the authors of marriage and family textbooks. But the number one problem today is inadequate communication or lack of communication. I doubt that there have been any fundamental changes in the problems between husbands and wives since those early textbooks were published. We just have a different way of looking at our family relationships. We probably were not communicating well in the 40s and 50s and 60s, but we may not have recognized it. Incidentally, those other problems have a direct bearing on the effectiveness of our communication, and our ability and willingness to communicate have an influence on the other problems. Please listen today as I speak with you on the topic, Fundamentals of Good Communication. Since the Bible is the world's greatest textbook on human relationships, it is also the greatest textbook on communication within those relationships. In 1984, I was asked to speak at a regional meeting of the National Honors Association in Charleston, South Carolina. I was assigned the topic, Communication in Marriage. I studied the topic at great length, and then decided to speak to that group of our young people and their sponsors on 1 Corinthians 13. Obviously, I did not mention the Bible or quote directly from it, but I analyzed Paul's great discussion of love, which is the very foundation of all good communication in marriage and elsewhere. If I truly love my family members, I will seek to open my heart to them. I will be attentive to what they want to say to me and their reasons for saying it. A lack of love will prevent effective communication. If I do not love others enough to listen to their concerns, why should I bother to let them know how I feel and what I believe? Why should I be interested in their beliefs and feelings? Our approach today will be very simple and straightforward. We will examine the Scriptures to learn about the need for communication and the principles governing our relationships to others. I am confident that our lesson today will help you improve your communication skills and enable you to have better marriages, better business relationships, and a more satisfying life. Please listen carefully and let me hear from you if you have questions or comments on our lesson. While speech is not the only way human beings communicate with each other, it is certainly one of the most vital ways. The Bible specifically and emphatically forbids our use of lying, flattery, gossip, deception, and filthy language in our dealings with each other. Paul's letters to the church in Ephesus and to the church in Colossae make that truth very plain. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. Ephesians 4:25 and 29. Lie not one to another, seeing you have put off the old man with his deeds. Colossians 3:9. The Old Testament had much to say about our speech. The psalmist wrote, "For there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is very wicked. Their throat is an open sepulcher. They flatter with the tongue." Psalm 5:9. No book in the Old Testament has so much to say about the tongue as the great book of Proverbs. I have time to give you just one example. Say to wisdom, "You are my sister," and call understanding your kinswoman, that they may keep you from the strange woman, from the stranger which flatters with her words. Proverbs 7:4 and 5. Our Lord's teaching on human speech reveals the source of the misuse of the tongue. O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil things. But I say unto you, that every idle word men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by your words you shall be justified, and by your words you shall be condemned. Matthew 12:34-37. The beautiful little book of James makes some powerful statements concerning the tongue. James 3:2-12. James was not exaggerating when he called the tongue a fire, a world of iniquity. James 3:6. James knew, and we know, the enormous damage a loose tongue can do, not only in the family, but in our business relationships, in the church, and in the community. James goes so far as to say that a misused tongue is set on fire of hell. That is, it is inspired in its evil work by the devil himself. James 3:6. Obviously, the tongue can do great evil, but it can also do much good. James said concerning the tongue, therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men who are made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not so to be. James 3:9-10. The tongue enables us to communicate the gospel to others, to express our gratitude and our praise to our Heavenly Father, and to tell our family members and others how much we love them. However, we men are often reluctant to express openly our affection, even to our wives and to other family members. A very common complaint from wives, which every marriage counselor hears, is, "My husband never talks to me and never tells me that he loves me." Children and young people often express the same disappointment with their fathers. How tragic that we have been given such great ability to express our love and neglect to do so. Strother Campbell's book, Making Marriage Christian, powerfully sets forth the truth I am trying to get across to all of us. By simply neglecting a wife whose heart craves kisses and caresses, a husband makes it easy for her to listen to the flattery and the lovemaking of another man. Husbands often forget this. A woman naturally wants to be loved and to be told she is loved. Nothing else will take the place of it. She will put up with scanty fare if her husband will only satisfy her heart hunger. Every married man knows that he won his wife by loving her and making her believe that he would be a wonderful husband. But alas, no sooner has the minister finished saying, "I now pronounce you husband and wife, and what God has joined, let not man put asunder," that he quits telling her that he loves her. Is she disappointed? Ask her. Any man who has secured the consent of a good woman to be his wife can bind her to him with hooks of steel by occasionally putting his manly arms around her and giving her a kiss with a kick in it, just like the one he gave her the night she said, "Whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people." Too often, a man, after he is married, thinks his wife is his forever, without any effort on his part to keep her, or to keep her in love with him. He dives headlong into his business or his profession, and becomes oblivious of all else. Presently, along comes some flattering philanderer, and runs away with his wife. Men, I mean you married men, when you get home at night, tell her that you love her. But if you do, be sure to have the smelling salts handy, for she is likely to faint from shock. Pages 52-53. Let me return now to the book of Proverbs to learn some powerful principles of communication, especially communication with the tongue. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Proverbs 15:1. It will do us good if we think of the many times in our marriages and in other relationships when we have irritated others and made bad matters worse by speaking harshly. How foolish and inexcusable for people to say regarding hurtful language, "Well, I thought it, and I had to say it." It is no worse to say it than it is to think it. Where in the world did anyone ever come up with such a destructive notion? When Solomon says that a soft answer turns away wrath, he was not condoning the compromising of one's convictions. He encourages all of us to speak kindly, lovingly, and graciously, even when we do not feel like it. Speaking kindly and softly can diffuse a very tense and dangerous situation, not just in the home or in the church, but in the world of diplomacy. Even when we are obligated to speak firmly, we should try to convince our hearers that we mean only their good. That is not always an easy task, but it is a Christian obligation. The following words from Proverbs have basically the same meaning as the preceding verse. A gentle tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. To make an apt answer is a joy to a man, and a word in season, how good it is. Proverbs 15:4 and 23. The ability to speak gently and to make an appropriate response on every occasion does not come automatically, just because we are human beings. It takes years of trying, practicing, and loving to be able to give a word in season. Husbands and wives and all others will be far more successful and happy if they studiously avoid hurting others with their harsh and cruel answers. Solomon further says, "The mind of the righteous ponders how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things." Proverbs 15:28. In several of the passages I have read, both from the Old Testament and from the New, the inspired writers make it very plain regarding the source of all misbehavior, whether with our mouths or otherwise. If our hearts are not right, our actions will not be good and honorable. "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Proverbs 4:23. That was our Lord's meaning in the passage I read from Matthew 12. "Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." Matthew 12:34. Solomon said, "The plans of the mind belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord." Proverbs 16:1. If we want to have good and healthy relationships with our family members, friends, and fellow Christians, we must remember to speak kindly and gently. Pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body. Proverbs 16:24. How often we injure our loved ones and others by being harsh and unkind in our language. We may not always mean to hurt, but our words can do enormous damage to our relationships. One of the ways we hurt others with our mouths is spelled out in this statement from Proverbs. If one gives answer before he hears, it is his folly and shame. Proverbs 18:13. How many of us have had the experience Solomon described? We thought we knew what the other person was going to say and answered before knowing for sure. Even if we think we know what the other person will say, we ought to give him a chance to say it. It is only common courtesy to give everyone the right of speaking his piece. James calls the tongue an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. James 3:8. Do you think perhaps James may be a little excited about the power of the tongue? Can the tongue really do all the evil James ascribes to it? You and I both know by observation and by experience how destructive the tongue can be. But listen carefully to these words by Solomon. "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. Proverbs 18:21. Solomon was almost certainly talking about the great physical and spiritual harm which can result from sharp tongues. But what he says also applies to the death of relationships. A good husband-wife relationship or a good parent-child relationship can be killed by harsh, angry, and unloving words. On the other hand, good family relationships can be cultivated and enhanced by kind, gentle, and gracious words. The survival or death of human relationships is also in the power of the tongue. For the remainder of our time today, let us examine some of the biblical principles which regulate and which strengthen good communications. First, there needs to be an openness to learn, to change, to grow. Only green things grow. If you're not just a little green, you're not going to grow. Those who already know it all or think they know it all have trouble communicating with those who do not know it all. I have changed enormously, and I hope for the good, in the years Molly and I have been married. It has not always been an easy process, and there is still a long way to go, but she definitely has changed me. She could have changed me more if I had been more willing to listen. That has also been my experience in other situations. I have learned from my beloved parents and many of my school teachers, from godly elders of the church, and from many others. The book of Proverbs continually stresses the need to grow, to listen, to learn. A fool despises his father's instruction, but he who heeds admonition is prudent. Proverbs 15:5. Christians should be willing to heed instruction, whether or not it comes from our fathers. Are we willing to listen to our wives, our husbands, our elders and preachers, and even to our children? I have often been amazed at the great wisdom of small children. There are certainly times when a child can lead us. Solomon observes, "There is severe discipline for him who forsakes the way. He who hates reproof will die." Proverbs 15:10. God Almighty, our earthly parents, our spouses and elders of the church, have some responsibilities for our lives. We are to submit in those areas which are appropriate, or we are in danger of perishing, both physically and spiritually. If we fail to communicate properly with those whom God has chosen to lead us, there is grave danger we shall die. Proverbs 15:10. The following passages from Proverbs show how vital it is to listen to good advice and how dangerous and foolish it is not to listen. A scoffer does not like to be reproved. He will not go to the wise. Proverbs 15:12. The mind of him who has understanding seeks knowledge, but the mouths of fools feed on folly. Proverbs 15:14. He who ignores instruction despises himself, but he who heeds admonition gains understanding. Proverbs 17:10. A rebuke goes deeper into a man of understanding than 100 blows into a fool. Proverbs 18:15. He whose ear heeds wholesome admonition will abide among the wise. Proverbs 15:31. Finally, an intelligent mind acquires knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge. Proverbs 18:15. A second principle which governs good communication is control of one's emotions. If we become angry or pouty or stubborn, it is unlikely we shall be able to have good understanding and fellowship with anyone, family members included. James addresses these concerns. "Wherefore, my beloved brothers, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man works not the righteousness of God." James 1:19 and 20. Solomon agreed with James, as the following passages clearly indicate. "A hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger quiets contention." Proverbs 15:18. He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. Proverbs 16:32. Good sense makes a man slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook an offense. Proverbs 19:11. Can you not see how following these divinely inspired principles would help us to control our tempers and to have better relations with our loved ones and friends? A third principle which helps us in our communications one with another is devotion to God and to His inspired Word. From a purely worldly viewpoint, this may not be readily understood and accepted. But faith in God and in His divine revelation undergirds all relationships, practices, and beliefs. If God did not exist, and He has not revealed Himself through His Son and through His Word, there is no solid basis on which anyone can live. How could we know right and wrong, good and evil, without God? Even if we could know right and wrong without God, why would we be obligated to do the right? Solomon commanded God's children to commit their work to the Lord, and their plans will be established. Proverbs 16:3. If one is not right with the Lord, if he does not commit his works to God, it will not make much difference in the long run how well or poorly he communicates with anyone. On the other hand, if we commit our work to the Lord, he will surely help us to have better relationships. And that includes being able to have good communications within our marriages, our businesses, and among our friends and neighbors. Respect for others will also help us to communicate. If we do not have respect for others, spouses, children, fellow church members, business associates and neighbors, why would we want to waste our time communicating with them, unless it is to our advantage? If we want to use others for our own pleasure or profit, we might make an effort to explain our wishes, but there would be no communication since there is no respect. Remembering that these words from Psalm 18 apply to others as well as to ourselves should enable us to have respect for all men and women. What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. Psalm 8:4-6. Honesty is the fifth principle which aids good communication. The Apostle John instructed his immediate hearers and readers and us, "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." 1 John 3:18. If you tell your wife you love her, but she has reason to question your honesty, you may be wasting your breath. Expressing love in word is not forbidden, but it is not enough. We have to demonstrate our love by our deeds. Paul added to John's instructions, "Let love be without dissimulation or hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good." Romans 12:9. Peter said to some early churches, "Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently." 1 Peter 1:22. Unfeigned is the same Greek word which is translated dissimulation and means that our love should not be hypocritical. But does being honest mean being brutally frank? Suppose your wife asks you, "How do you like my new dress?" Suppose you think it looks awful. What do you say to her? Do you hurt people's feelings by saying whatever is on your mind? Can we not be honest with others without hurting them and cutting them to pieces? A child may get by with being brutally frank, but adults are supposed to be more understanding, more diplomatic, and more civilized. I mentioned a few minutes ago that I had spoken at a regional meeting of the National Honors Association at Charleston, South Carolina. My assigned topic was communication in marriage. I used 1 Corinthians 13 as the basis for that lesson. Will you please listen carefully as I read to you Paul's great discourse on love? Paul's chapter on love is the most penetrating and powerful discussion of love in existence. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not love, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love envies not. Love vaunts not itself, is not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemly, seeks not her own, is not easily provoked, thinks no evil, rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. And now abides faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 8 and 13. Please listen again next Lord's Day as we discuss barriers to effective communication. Thank you, and may God bless you.